Good evening. This is Mimi Poser at the Guggenheim. Historically, the greatest role of women in art has been that of the model, and that's usually been for a male artist. This situation has changed radically in the 20th century. There are now tremendous numbers of women who are practicing artists. However, the problem of recognition and with it representation still remains. There are those who are seeking to redress the imbalance which prevails. Among them, this evening's guests, who are two of the people involved in a newly opened exhibition dealing exclusively with the work of women artists. The show, Women Choose Women, at the New York Cultural Center. And our guests, Mario Amaya, director of the New York Cultural Center, and artist Sylvia Slee. Good evening and welcome. I want to ask you, how did this show come into being?
Well, it was a very fortuitous situation because I had arrived as the new director in April, and practically the first letter that appeared on my desk was a letter from the Women in Arts Committee.
This past April?
Yes, which had invited all museums in the New York area to exhibit a woman's show. And the idea was that every New York museum at the same time would have all the women artists on show at this, together.
And who had made this proposal?
Well, the Women in Arts Committee.
Yes, that right, that's correct. Yeah. And would you tell us what your part in this organization is and was?
Well, it's a very democratic organization, and at the moment quite unstructured. So one takes part in special committees on the whole, and one doesn't have any particular person who leads or rules, as it were. And you choose the person who is most likely to be useful to do whatever is necessary at the moment. And as I was slightly acquainted with Mr. Meyer, I suggested that I should go and see him and see how he felt about giving us a show.
Yes, well, obviously, most of the other, or all of the other museums didn't take this option up.
Well, it was very odd because I was just going to answer the letter when Sylvia rang me and said she'd like to speak to me about an important matter. Meanwhile, the telephone was going that morning.
And you'd made up your mind to do it.
I'd made up my mind to do it, but I wanted to find out more about it. I wanted to see what, you know, how it could be done feasibly. But the phone was going that morning, and some of my colleagues were sort of ringing around each other saying, what are we going to do about this one? And one of my colleagues at a prestigious New York museum said, what are you going to do? And I said, well, I think I'd like to do something about this. And he said, I think you're absolutely insane.
Did he say why he thought you were insane?
Well, I think he thought that handling an exhibition which would have to deal with maybe 500 applicants, out of which you would have to make a selection, would be a very difficult, thing to cope with. And of course, it wasn't easy.
Yeah, that was my next question. It must have been different from other shows that you've organized. In what ways was it different?
Well, insofar as that this was not a curatorial exhibition, that's to say there was no particular museum person in charge of the exhibition, coordinating it, choosing it. So the women themselves formed a committee, which was the selection committee, with outside guests. And I sat in an advisory capacity with a vote, and everything was very democratically done. The slides that we looked at were anonymously labeled, so we didn't even know the names of the artists. Mm-hmm. And we had to go through hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of slides to select the 112 artists. The numbers keep changing.
Yes.
How did you go about choosing the committee of women who were going to judge the other women?
We went to see Mr. Meyer in a committee of, I think it was five of us, first of all. And after the committee meeting, we went for an agenda meeting, which we always have before having a general meeting. And as time was short, we then voted for three people and three substitutes to be on the selection committee. And it was very interesting because some people that I feel would have been good on the committee were very anxious not to be on it because they felt it was a little bit undemocratic and they didn't really want to, take the responsibility.
You didn't want to be put in a position
yes.
of judging, but how
yes.
else would you?
Well, that's it. I said, well, somebody has to do it, and I think the show's so worthwhile that, and as we can't have everyone, although we love to, then one has to choose. And I must say, it was very hard to choose, and there are many people who I think are excellent artists who aren't in the show who I wish were. But, well, you know, we hope one day to have a bigger exhibition even, so that everyone can show.
Did you have any people refusing to exhibit in a show of this kind, women?
No, I don't think we did. Yes, I think we may have had two, but I think that was because they were very busy with having shows elsewhere and didn't have enough work. Mm-hmm. But everyone seemed to be very thrilled with the idea.
In other words, nobody
whole.
Categorically denied.
One person asked me and said, "You asked me why she should show," and I said to her, "Well, you know, this is not just for you or me. It's for the whole of all women everywhere of every kind to show what we can do."
Right. So, well, that leads into my next question, and I want to ask: have many women in positions of power, or let's say relative power, because there are no women directors of museums?
Yes, there are. Yes, there is one.
In New York?
No, not in New York.
Well,
in Canada. Jean Bobbs is the director of the National
Gallery. And in Philadelphia.
Yes.
Well, Susan Delahanty.
But there aren't too many women in positions of, in that kind of position of power. Have these women been helpful? Do they tend to help other women?
Well, sometimes. But not always. You can't count on it.
Because, you know, some women are very hostile to women's lib movements. And, of course,
that's
this
right.
is related very directly to the women's lib movement.
Well, a lot of women have told me, quite frankly, that they associate themselves more with men. And they feel that if a woman can't make it, it's her own fault. Which is a very strange thing to me, because it sounds rather like my mother used to say to me, "Of course women are inferior, dear, but I'm different."
Well, do you feel that this is a real problem, a real tendency, that women feel that they want to make it in a man's world and that they can't make it on their own?
The women who've made it very often want to feel that, because then they feel they're real stars and they're really something, and we're just a lot of hoi polloi who don't count. But I think that that a real woman wants to be equal with a man as a woman in an equal kind of world, because why not? I mean, I see no reason why a woman should be inferior to a man.
Well, obviously I do as well.
But this is very curious, if I may have a male chauvinist point of view.
Are we going to let him do that?
Oh, I mean, I believe in democracy.
But I think I'd like both comments from you on this, Sylvie, because towards the end of the show, when the usual hysteria builds up, and particularly if it's a group show with 100 and some odd artists, they all come in a day before the opening, they say, "Oh, my picture isn't hung in the right place," or "Oh, it's the wrong work," or "Oh, this," or "Could you please be sure the lights are better on that?" And I'm afraid to say that when the women who came in wanted something from this male director, they used every feminine ploy, including tears and...
Well, I'm afraid that women have been pushed into that position.
Yes, I think
so. But guess
who? Yes. And after all, old habits die hard.
Along the same vein, do you think that there is really a difference between male and female art?
I think this show proves that that difference is almost a kind of mythical one. Mm-hmm. I think if you didn't have any labels on the show and didn't say, just said it was a, let's say, something like a Whitney annual, mm-hmm. I think people would be amazed if you told them after they'd gone around that it was all by women. Because, I mean, the work is just, I wouldn't say it's asexual. I mean, a lot of
it
is, you know. But it certainly is, it doesn't give you the feeling that this is a woman's kind of painting, some subjects.
It's a very interesting point, I think, because I don't think anyone's really yet quite sure. I mean, people like Lucy Lippard are very keen to show there is a difference, and there well may be, perhaps. An artist painting a portrait of a female artist painting a portrait of a man might have a slightly different attitude towards him than a man painting a portrait of a man or a woman. But I do think that in the end, what I hope so much is that we should be thought of as people and just the same as men. You know, that there won't be, I mean, men, there are men who are so-called more masculine and men who are so-called more feminine. And after all, to put it very crudely, we all have nipples.
Yes, well, Lucy Lippard, in the essay, in the catalogue, points out that to so many women, the greatest compliment she can be paid is, you paint like a woman, which is exactly the same as being told, you really think like a man, you handle things like a man. And this is what they're striving for, to be recognized in a man's world.
As people?
Well, not all of the
women.
As women,
it seems, according to Lucy, yes.
Oh, well, I'm hoping, you see, that this kind of show will make it unnecessary in a few years, say like 5 years, to have women's shows, because I want so much that women should just be treated in the same way as men, that we should have equal opportunities in every line, not only in art, but in every single capacity of life.
I think the important thing that the show has brought out is often museum people have said, if they were asked why there was such a small percentage of women artists in their mixed exhibitions, they would say, oh, well, because there aren't so many good women artists, they would say. And that was because there wasn't that much exposure to women artists and people didn't know how good they were. I think shows like this, although a mixed bag, does point out that, say, out of 112 artists, I should say a good 75 to 80 of those artists are really top rate, which is a very good average.
This brings up another point, something that I find very curious. Usually, exploitation of women has been economically advantageous, and one would think that if they could get women's art cheaper than men's art, and it is good art, that it would be just lapped up, it'd be snapped up and bought by everybody.
People won't buy things that are cheap. They want to buy something that's expensive. It's a mistake to think that. And you know, I was very shocked. A collector I know of in Seattle said she would never buy work by a woman at any price.
What reason did she give?
She said it couldn't be good.
Now, unlike the situation with museum directors, there are many women who own and run galleries. Are these women more sympathetic to this problem? How easy or difficult is it to get representation in a gallery?
It's terribly difficult. And the only way I've ever got it is through the recommendation of male artists. But I have found that some women's galleries are kind, but at least three of them I've been to were perfectly horrid.
You mean the women's cooperative galleries?
No. I mean women gallery directors.
Ah, yes.
Yeah, because there are a lot of them here in New York.
I mean, one of the people who's been kindest to women is Betty Parsons, who's shown a lot of women painters. And
in London, do you remember Erica Browson in London used to be terribly fair to, I mean, she used to have a very large percentage of women artists.
Well, I didn't have much luck with her myself.
This is another problem. How about this? Now, you come to New York via Toronto and London, and Miss Lee, you as well. Not via Toronto, but from London. What's the situation like in other countries and in other cities outside of New York?
Regarding this problem, you mean?
Yeah, you know, after all, New York is this a great cultural center, and it's sort of a hotbed of political activity.
I don't think London has is as consciously aware of this kind of thing. I think things are more, I don't know, I think things are taken more on their merit in Europe on the whole, rather than sort of having to decide whether, you know, is it good because it's black, or is it, because if it's black, it's got to be bad, or because it's a woman, it's no good, or, you know.
I think, I don't agree.
You don't agree?
No. I think that women here, first of all, I think women in New York, I emphasize New York, have much more freedom than women anywhere in the world. And I think, therefore, that they have a much better chance here, and they're aware. One of the important things is that they're aware when they are treated badly. In Europe, they're not even aware of it half the time. And I think that the only way you can get on in London is to be associated with a group of men who happen to like your work because it's in the same sort of style as theirs, and therefore they will promote you. But in my case, who I'm rather a maverick and have been, nobody was at all interested, and I could get no interest in my work whatever from anybody.
And it was here in New York that
Yes, I did have a show in London, but this was also through a gallery. A man who ran a gallery helped me to get a show in another gallery. But, you know, it was mainly because he felt guilty about me, I think, and knew my husband, rather than he felt that I should be shown, because he said he would never show a woman in his gallery. I know my husband stayed up all night trying to persuade him to show Joan Mitchell.
Well, what do you think the crux of this problem is? Is it plain, ordinary garden variety prejudice? Are there some economic factors? What is it? Why?
I think it's prejudice, mainly.
I don't know. I think probably it is just a kind of built-in prejudice from, you know, it goes back for centuries and centuries and centuries.
Well, have many women tried to submit their work anonymously? You know, you find that in literature. Very often somebody takes a nom de plume.
Oh, well, we discussed this at the Modern Museum, and one of Ehrenberg's women curators said, well, I don't see why you should put your name on your work. You can always sign it with your surname. She said, I gave my daughter a man's name. So I said to her, are you ashamed of being a woman? And she was rather shocked. I used to sign my name S. Lee, but I've decided for many years now I've signed it with my full name because, you know, I'm proud of being a woman. Why is it disgraceful? So if you can't take me as I am, it's too bad for you. If you can't look at the work and see it without having some kind of mad fog in front of your eyes.
Yeah, well, it boils down to a question of economics then. You can afford to be independent, but somebody who is really trying to earn a living and make his way in the world sometimes has to descend into using these ruses.
Listen, it's almost impossible to earn your living as a painter unless, you know, very few people actually do. Most
men. Well, this
men
is just as difficult for men.
I think this is the same for both sexes, isn't it?
Well, yeah. The difference is this, that most men can get a decent job in university teaching in the studio, which I think is a splendid thing, and I wish so much that it was easier for women to get such a job, because this is the correct job for a woman painter. And also, as the arts, there are 75% women art students, they ought to be taught by women because it would encourage them.
I just had a conversation with a young woman who is now at Radcliffe, and she said that in her art history class, 9/10 of the students are women. However, the positions of power and importance in the university are held by men.
Mm-hmm.
And it's extraordinary.
Well, of course.
This is one of the inequities we were talking about.
Right.
Tell me, what has been the reaction of the public? I realize the show hasn't been on very long. It opened last Thursday. But what's been the reaction of the public?
Well, they just love it. I mean, we've had crowds in, and they find it very stimulating. I think their curiosity is being sated, too. I mean,
no,
I think I just wish that one or two critics had seen what the public seems to see in the exhibition. I think that's where the prejudices has come in sometimes, particularly with critics or in-group art world people. But the public is terribly open-minded about it, and the reactions have been very positive and good, particularly at the opening, of course. But, you know.
I had a curious experience at the opening, too. I was standing in front of one of the paintings. I have a note here, Regina... Bokar's work, which is cork with several lengths of rope. And there was a woman standing there and she was looking at it and she said, isn't it marvelous? She's incorporated weaving into this work. And the obvious implication being that she had brought a woman's craft to her work. This woman had to see something feminine in the work. She couldn't just look at it and judge it, but she had to bring something from her own, she had to bring her own baggage with her.
Well, that's interesting because a lot of comments like that were made about the soft art pieces, the pieces which are constructed with materials, you know, and fabrics folded. And everyone said, well, you see, this is really a feminine art, you see, the playing with materials.
And,
well, exactly. Then I had to point out that this had been done some time ago, you know. Of course, Eva Hesse exists and other people like that. But then you've got...
Heard people... I explained to the audience there's an Eva Hesse exhibition up at the Guggenheim now. Come in and give her the ultimate compliment, or what they think is the ultimate compliment. This is just such strong masculine work.
Yeah.
Ergo, it's important.
On the other hand, I do say I'm putting together a soft art show for next month, and in doing a survey of studios and galleries, we found very few men are now working in soft art materials. Most of the artists in the show will be women, Sylvia. Over 2/3 of the show will be women for the first time.
Why do you think that's happened?
That's interesting.
That almost substantiates what Lucy Lepard says, that women tend towards a certain form toward certain materials. She said that she found a great deal of circular references in the women's art and certain colors.
I haven't really found this, I must say, but perhaps I haven't been looking hard enough. But one thing I would love to say is that at the opening, all the artists I met who were in the show, at any rate, were so ebullient and so happy that I feel it'll be a great stimulation to them to do more and more and better things. Because I know myself, as I was saying to you, that I've never worked so hard in my life as during the last year, because I had two teaching jobs and I've painted two of my largest pictures, and I feel, you know, I could do anything almost.
Well, let's hope that this kind of thing really encourages a lot of other people too. I think so many women are so talented, and they're just so down because it's such a long uphill struggle.
Well, that's right. They feel that there's an end to the corridor now.
We have just a few minutes left, and I want to ask you, what do you see? Obviously, this kind of show is one of the answers. What do you see as an answer to this problem, and what are your plans to implement the changes which are obviously so necessary?
Well, I think having done this breakthrough show now, that's sort of done, as far as I'm concerned and my institution's concerned. Now it's up to other institutions to decide to do what they wish. But for instance, as I pointed out, the soft art show, in that particular case, we'll have almost two-thirds of the artists will be women. There'll probably be occasions where two-thirds of the artists will be men, but I think I've made a point that I certainly have no prejudice one way or the other.
Yes,
and now
you
I think
do.
It's up to my colleagues to do the same.
Well, obviously what you're after is natural selection. Mr. Amaya, would you just tell our audience how long the show is going to be on? And I know that you wanted to say something about the New York Cultural Center being in association with Fairleigh Dickinson.
That's right.
Not Farley, Fairleigh.
Fairleigh Dickinson. It's on until February 18th, and Tuesday is Pay-As-You-Wish Day for anybody who resents having to pay an admission to a museum. And I think anyone who comes to the Cultural Center will have three floors full of surprises for them.
And the Cultural Center is at...
2 Columbus Circle.
2 Columbus Circle.
Yes.
I thank you both very much for being on with us. And to our audience, good night until next week.